Why not?
Oh, I don't know how to set all this equipment up.
That's okay.
I need to check, yeah. But maybe next week.
We'll see. Or we could keep using an iPhone.
Yeah.
That's also okay.
It's kind of, what's the word?
We're recording.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
I mean, there's almost a notion to using the device that makes it almost charming or something to listen to these schlubs that don't know what they're talking about talk about stuff that they think they're talking about.
Like me?
Like us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, Spencer.
Yes.
I'm going to interview you a little bit. I've got a few questions to ask you.
Sweet.
Kind of let people get to know you a little bit.
Okay.
So, first of all, like, what is it that you do? Why do you care about games?
I think it came from, obviously, the growing up with the childhood. Christmases were rife with awesome, you know, presents that were just NES cartridges. And
like it,
of all
like
people...
What?
Okay, of all people, my grandmother bought us the Nintendo.
Our
Nintendo, yeah, and if you knew her, you'd be like, nah, that's not true. But I remember the package came from her, at least. I don't know, maybe she didn't even know what she was buying. But it was definitely a lot of, you know, the nostalgic games from the NES series that really got me going. I mean, this is, gosh, I was 7 or 8 probably when that came out. And I remember it was so intense. Just in Mario Brothers when it first came out, that one of my sisters and one of our best friends' brothers stayed home, ditched high school, and played Mario Brothers for 8 hours, both claiming that they won, that they beat the game first, because that was how competitive we were with this other family of friends. I think I remember my parents going, man, I really wish he could just get a job in the industry because he wastes so much time playing these games, and then it'll justify their reasoning for letting me play video games. And I grew up, thought, oh, I'm never going to play games again, just did them very vaguely, and started dabbling in art just because I enjoyed photography. I wanted to get a degree, got into sculpture, and...
Oh.
By the time I finished sculpture, I started making art related to video games. Like, I realized that was such an important part, and I wanted to reanalyze what's so big about that. What does that mean about me? Why is it that I keep going back to playing video games or understanding that culture? And then all of a sudden, you know, and just in my last year, I realized that the University of Utah has a program for undergrad and graduates in video games. And I just thought, oh my gosh, this is it. And my wife, I'm not sure how we got married, but my wife hates video games, and she thinks they're a complete waste of time. She's very, very patient with me, but was quite impatient before I got into school and with studying video games, because she just thought it was a complete waste of time. And I told her, I came home one day and I said, I just found out there's a degree where I can study video games. I think I want to do it. And she looked at me without even hesitating. She said, you need to do it.
So,
and I thought, no way.
That reminds me, have you ever seen PCU?
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, seriously, when I realized that I could actually make money making video
mm-hmm.
games was... two things. PCU, which is an awesome movie, Jeremy
yes.
Piven, and literally there's a line in there, like, you can study whatever you want in college.
Yeah.
You could study Game Boy if you knew how to BS enough or something like that, I don't remember. But the other thing was Final Fantasy VII. Like, I remember sitting in my room,
such a
like,
good game.
Playing Final Fantasy VII, and Tifa and Cloud were sitting on the water... whatever, the water cooler, and back in the village, I don't even remember, it's been so long, but they were sitting there and, like, talking about the stars or something, and, like, it hit me at that point, like, somebody has to make this stuff. Like, somebody makes this and gets paid for it. And so, literally, the next day at school, somebody asked me, like, what I wanted to do with my life, and I'm like, I want to make video games. And just like you, I kind of fell away from it, and then came back to it,
yeah.
And tricked my wife into letting me go to school for it at ITT Tech, which was awesome for some things and horrible for others. So, like, my professors were awesome. I learned a ton there, and it really got me a lot of experience that helped me move on and really realize that this is something that not only I can do, but that I feel like I can do well. So, anyway. Okay, exciting. Anyway.
No, yeah, and there was definitely a lot of moments growing up that I was like, man, I really would love to do this.
Like
all
what?
The time.
Like what? What games?
It was Final Fantasy VII. Like, you're sitting there describing Tifa and Cloud sitting on the water cooler, water tank, and
yeah.
Like, oh, dude, memories right there. That was such a good... That was a good game overall, but that memory right there. And Aeris, how could they do that to you?
Oh, man. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert!
For, like, a 20-year-old game?
20-year-old game. If you haven't figured that out yet. No, and it was... The thing that was most interesting, I think, for us growing up with video games was the legitimacy of video games in society, and it was.
What are you talking about?
No, I mean there was this huge problem that no one thought that they were for anyone over the age of 10.
Oh, okay.
It was not a legitimate source of income. It was not a legitimate source of
entertainment.
It was not normal for a regular person in society to associate with games so much, and you know, and I never got into World of Warcraft, but I remember sitting at a subway.
Lucky.
2002, 2003, sitting at a subway, and like five people came in, and all they could do was talk about the raid that they were on, and they were like, "Man, we were at our computers for 8 hours. That was so crazy." And I'm like, "Losers! You're nothing but losers." And now, you know, I kind of have a respect for them. They didn't get a good Subway sandwich, but, you know...
So this was while you were working at Subway?
No, I just went in there and I ate, and they came in and they ate, and they just were a rowdy bunch talking about the awesome raid and the lightning coming out of their fingers. And at that point, I think I was very anti-games, and because I needed to be an upstanding suit that that contributed to society. And
okay, so... Listeners, you can't really see this right now, but I'm literally wearing a tie. Okay. Let us continue. Because, okay, when last we left, we were talking about...
Suits.
Like, I've heard you use that word a few times, kind of a derogatory way, which is fine. I think I understand what you mean, but I just wanted to clarify, like, what is your idea of a suit?
So, I guess I have spittle coming out of my mouth sometimes when I say it, and I mean it almost affectionately, but just because, I mean, there's this notion of the businessman that's supposed to be the prim and proper, you know, character, and I worked in the outdoor industry for a couple years while I was doing my undergrad, and that was really interesting because, gosh, the CEO of a $10 million company would walk in barefoot to a meeting, put his feet up on a desk, and he would ask the lowliest of lows, "Tell me, what do you guys think about what we should be doing with the company?" You know, and it was just there was such candor in that industry, and I've seen that carry on with the gaming industry as well. That, like, no one wears a suit, man. That's just so weird. But at the same time, suits are super important because we, you know, I was just talking with Rich Reagan, creative designer at EA Salt Lake.
Oh yeah,
one of the head out guys. He's so cool.
He is cool.
I've talked to him a couple times, and he said this a couple times. It didn't sink in until last week when he said, "We are in the business of making games, and business is just as important as the game equation to making a successful entertainment product, right?" And so, yeah, I mean, there's people that are suits, and there's people that are devs, and I think that's when I try to use it as. Suits are those guys that'll marketing, that are going to worry about the finances, that'll worry about making sure the company works, but the devs are the ones that are in the trenches working on it. Neither are necessarily better than the other, but man, it's fun to, I mean, like, Trent's sitting here wearing a suit and tie, or, you know, a tie and
and a nice long sleeve shirt. I'm wearing a shirt of Mr. Moneybags. Is that his name for Monopoly?
I think so.
And it says "Like a Boss."
Yes.
And like I had a presentation today, and this is what I chose intentionally, knowing that this is going to be more effective to when I present to the people I will, because they're all devs. Now, if I was a suit, I got to play the part, and I had to buy a suit this last month, and I.
Congratulations.
Oh, I know. It's such a
next week we're going to suit up.
No, no.
Yes.
We're not suiting up because we're not doing pictures.
Well, we don't have to do pictures, but we could look nice.
But for who? For what?
For our listeners.
For our listeners. Yeah. So
also our moms, cuz I think that's going to be the only reason why I wear a suit.
It's the only reason why I wear a suit, because my wife loves it when I wear a suit. She's like, "Man, you look so smoking in that." I'm like, "Yeah, I guess so. Thanks."
What, this old thing?
This old thing, shoot. And well, and I got a pink purple long sleeve shirt with a pink tie.
Oh, nice.
I gotta tell you, those are the coolest colors to wear for a guy. They're just, anyways. The suit and the dev thing is really interesting. And the hardest part for me is when I came to school, I kept telling my professor, like, "Oh, I got this really cool idea of this business model around this game." And he's like, no. Do I need to transfer you to get an MBA instead of a degree in video game production?" And I'm like, "Well, no, I want to do both." And he's like, "Well, no, it's either suit or either dev." And I thought for the longest time, like, I can straddle that horn. You know, I can ride both sides of that fence, because they are so crucial. And what's funny is you can if you need to, you know, and indie game development, you know, small teams, you got to be an everyman. You've got to be able to put the suit on when you need to. And I find myself more and more drawn towards, you know, working in a small team, working for yourself, and realizing that you have to do the marketing just as much as you have to do the task management. But if you're in a big company, which, you know, the education that I've gotten in certain degrees have been oriented towards, you're a dev, you're only a dev, you're nothing but a dev, because you're going to work for a big company. You're going to work for the EAs and the BioWares and the Blizzards, and you won't have to worry about all that stuff. And it's like, yeah, but it, you know, and it becomes down to, I kind of have fun doing it. You know, I kind of want to dabble. And so it's suits, you got to love them. I don't want to be one all the time, but every now and then it doesn't hurt to put a tie on.
Yeah.
But.
So I agree with you, actually. And not just because I really wish I was wearing a t-shirt and shorts right now. Like, well, not shorts, because I don't ever wear shorts. But.
Okay, that's got to change, man.
That's weird.
I haven't worn pants for like 4 years.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh,
you actually sound like my old boss.
Yeah. That's my goal, man. Shorts all day. All the time.
Yeah. So, yeah. Welcome to the games industry. You're in the right place.
Yay. Yeah. I'm so excited.
All right, cool. So you've talked a couple times about your degree, right? You're going to the University of Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about that a little bit. Like, what kinds of things are you doing in your program?
So the graduate program is really cool, because they just grab some producers, a whole bunch of engineers, and a whole bunch of artists, and put them in a room. And the first day, they're like, "Hey, shake hands now. Here's your first project. Go make a game." And that's what we've been doing in my second year already. And so that first year, they were just like, "Go make a game, you know, and you'll, you know, we cannot teach you how to make games without you just making them." And so rapid prototyping,
awesome.
You know, a lot of notions that this is how the industry works, this is how industry does things. Small team, three to four people, make a prototype. And we even had some great opportunities from professors to get clients, and they're like, "Okay, we've got this product, and we need to, you know, somehow gamify it, or somehow encourage better education through awareness, and we want to try that with games. What can you provide?" And so, you know, all these seven teams whipping out games and saying, "This is what we got." And so it creates this inner competition between all the teams, and everyone's trying, you know, vying for the attention of the client all of a sudden. And it has gone way out of simulation of what a game company would look like, and it starts getting really serious.
So when you say, like, goes way outside of simulation, like, becomes...
To the benefit.
Becomes, yeah, that thing?
It becomes the industry. I mean, two or three games from clients that have come and, you know, did the round of prototypes with the graduate students have come back and said, hey, we really liked your pitch. We really liked your idea. Make this game. We'll pay you, you know, outside of school time and all that stuff. That's and awesome. All of a sudden, you know, and I'm actually working on a game right now, a toddler game, for some clients that came and approached us and said, hey, we've heard what you guys have been doing. What can you help us out with this problem? And we're like, yeah, this is what we would do. And they go, oh my gosh, that's exactly what we need. Here's awesome. X thousand dollars. Go make a game. And we're like, giddy up. So yeah, I'm a producer.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
And so, I mean, it's, every professor has worked in the game industry in some way, shape, or form. We've got a guy that worked at Pixar. We got a guy that worked at Microsoft for 20 odd years or something. One guy worked at, well, I guess he worked at Microsoft as well. He was a games journalist, and so he's very much a game academic.
And who's that?
That's Roger Altizer. He's like totally my hero.
Sure.
It's creepy how we almost look a lot alike, and everyone's like, well, Spencer likes Roger. And I'm like, yeah, I do, because he totally...
He's got a killer style.
He's got
a killer... He looks like a sharp guy.
And he looks great. His glasses are just like mine. No, but, you know, coming from an art background and looking at things much more conceptually and abstracting ideas makes me connect with him, because that's how he communicates, and I get that. And, you know, the other guys, which makes me think that I'm much more interested in thinking about ideas and asking questions as opposed to just making the next zombie Nazi shooter.
Come on.
Oh, dude, it's going to be so awesome. It's going to have unicorns in it. I can't wait.
Unicorns the Nazis or the zombies?
That's the twist.
Whoa.
You have to play it to find out. Brain bomb!
All right.
No, I know. I mean, it's
coming next fall.
Next fall.
Wait, is Brain Bomb the name of the game? Because that's a rad name.
It should be.
Imagine that game.
And the possibilities are limitless at that point. Yeah, and so, you know, he and I connect with each other, and so I respect his opinion a lot, and it's exciting. For 5-6 years, I kept hearing people say, you need to have a mentor. Find someone that'll be your mentor.
Mm.
I totally agree with that, but it's like, who do you walk up to and go, will you be my mentor? No, like, really, I'm going to come to you and harass you at all times of the night and ask you questions. And, you know, I mean, both people have to be well invested in that and be interested in being selfless and in that relationship of what a mentor is. And I really have found that with him. And, I, you know, to an extent, almost all the other professors, they're all amazing. And this is totally a plug for University of Utah Game Studio.
Go you.
Go Utes.
Unless you're playing Wyoming, and then go Wyoming.
Oh.
Go Pokes.
Go Pokes.
That's right. I tricked you into saying it.
Yeah, that was a trick.
That's the whole reason why we started doing this podcast. I don't know if you knew that.
Yes.
I was trying to trick University of Utah students into saying
Pokes.
Go Pokes.
Yeah, well, at least we hit a high note with BYU, I guess, last week. Yeah. We're not going to play them for like five years or something, I heard.
Yeah, I heard crazy things, too.
I heard crazy things.
Yeah.
Like, we almost lost. Anyways.
Did you not watch the game?
I caught it for a little bit.
I didn't watch any of it.
I am not interested in sports.
What?
Oh, dude. All
right, we're going to turn off the podcast now. Thanks.
I'm going to get beat up in a minute, and then we'll come back and...
So you know this is going to be posted on the internet, right?
Yeah. No, I'm totally okay with that. You know, I shouldn't be. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I didn't catch the game. I haven't seen a Wyoming game in years. I don't watch Monday night, Sunday night, Thursday night, whatever night. I don't watch football.
Yeah.
The only football that I actually watch, there's two kinds, soccer and Australian rules football, which is awesome.
Isn't that a rugby?
Great game. No.
Oh.
Everybody says, isn't that rugby? No, it's literally Smear the Queer.
Well, isn't that rugby?
I thought that's
what rugby was.
Close. But
is that even politically correct to say
rules.
That anymore?
No, nope, not at all.
Okay. All right. Well,
I'm going back to 1987.
I'm sure in Australia they probably say that, but I'm sure
Yeah.
All three of those words have different meanings as well for them. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. I don't.
No, I.
We just cursed in five different languages.
That's. Hold on. Let me get Spanish. All right.
Sorry for our Australian listeners. We have no idea what you actually.
Yeah.
Do. Sorry, but we love your country and we're interested
in the football because the football's.
Oh, it's the greatest. It's
the greatest.
Yeah, they have great names like the Cats and the Swans.
Are you kidding me?
I'm pretty sure there's the Swans.
Do they have the Pillow Team?
No.
And the Soft Furry Kittens?
No, they're well, yeah, that's what you would think. But it's like the most brutal sport. Okay, they don't wear pads. And
oh, yeah, I mean, if it's anything like rugby.
They just tackle each other like full on.
Yeah.
Like,
I've seen a guy get kicked in the head get kicked, and he walks up and he punches some guy afterwards. I mean, and then everyone's just like shaking, smiling hands with their toothless grins afterwards.
That's pretty awesome.
All right.
Kind of jealous. Yeah.
So, yeah, what were we talking about?
Games. Football, Australian rules football, soccer. Also video games. Which is kind of what this whole thing
go
is about.
Go Utes. Go Pokes. Yeah.
Go Utes.
So, like, I learned this really fast getting a degree in art and sculpture, that a school, academia, will not get you a gig. It will not further your career whatsoever. And yet, I'm getting a graduate degree. And it was just, if you have the ambition and if you have the know-how, you're going to do it and you're going to find a way to do it and you're going to, you know, this is more for the fine art side of things, that you will find a way to be famous or popular and if you really want it. And, but it only appeals, that notion only appeals really to this maverick entrepreneurial sense of, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do everything I need to. But I went to school for art just because I had a sense that I would like this, but I just didn't know the vocabulary. I didn't know the people. I didn't know the history of the art scene or whatever that whatever that means. I totally had quote fingers in my hands there.
Which translates to podcast perfectly.
Yeah, it does.
Because we just talk about it for 5 minutes afterwards.
Right. And so I get the sense that in video games you can almost get away with that. And then, you know, I've heard the coolest stories of people like, oh, I totally got in the industry because I was just dinking around on the computer and someone found me and they totally, you know, handed me a contract. And random things. But again, I realized that this is what I wanted to do and I didn't have the tools to be 30 years old and starting into the industry, and I needed a kind of a jump start, and that's what sculpture did for me. That's what you know, this degree is doing for me. It's getting me the connections, and it's really giving me a boost in the right direction to jump ahead and not diddle around 5 years on my own. But I've got a huge okay. Here's a good example. I have seen the dumbest things said. And I've seen the dumbest things done while at school in between our teams.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
bad choices, horrible game planning, just offensive things that you don't ever tell any colleague whatsoever.
Welcome to the games industry.
Yeah, welcome to the games industry, right? But they, you know, one of my professors is like, the best thing we can give you is the first year of getting in the industry, you're going to do and say the dumbest things possible. If we can do that, if we can let you do that and fail miserably here where you know you're not going to get fired, you'll get that out of the way and then you can get in the industry. And I thought, that makes so much sense. And so, yeah, I probably have done a couple dumb things. I don't remember. Someone threatened to stab someone in the neck with a pen if they wouldn't stop talking. That wasn't me, and I wasn't being threatened either, fortunately. But yeah, I mean, you find yourself doing really dumb things, I think, starting anything out, and you have these ambitious hopes, and you're, I'm going to be the best in the world. And it's like, no, just shut up and, you know, and just
do some cool stuff.
Do some cool stuff. Just do some code. Just shut up and just work and work your way up. And so, yeah, that was very helpful for me to understand that I needed that, you know, to leg up. And you know, I probably could, if I really was ambitious enough, I could have found a different way to enter in the games industry. But I realized that this was an option, and so I jumped on it. But, you know, do you need a games degree to get into the industry? No, but having a master's degree and applying for a job really helps regardless of what you're doing, and you know, they pay attention to that.
Pretty sure you mean irregardless.
Irregardless. Regardless of which
irregardless. I'm pretty sure you mean irregardless.
I don't... Dude, I throw a double negative in there and we'll call it good.
So, that's one of my favorite jokes of all time.
Is that a joke? And yes. I totally missed the reference.
No.
Oh.
No. It's just something stupid that I do.
Oh.
To, like... I don't know why I do it. It's dumb. It literally is regardless.
Oh, okay.
I just tell people that I think you mean irregardless. Like, I correct people proper.
I wasn't even paying attention, so I'm like, I don't remember which one it was.
I also like to use impossible. I think you mean impossible.
Yeah.
What? Anyway, it's stupid.
This podcast is now a drinking game. Anytime you hear improper grammar, go ahead and take a shot. Anytime we say, now where were we? That's a whole mug, just so you know.
Also,
we are not accounted, we are not accountable for any and all accidents that occur because of the excessive drinking of through this podcast.
Right. Because we're talking about it's drinking water. Because
Kool-Aid.
As game developers, we need more water in our diet.
Oh,
seriously,
my gosh.
Like, okay, so with Mountain Dew and Dr. Pepper,
we need to do a podcast. Two of just my loves, about health.
Oh no, seriously,
just about health.
That's okay, so that's
about.
Crazy because I was thinking about that on the way over. In fact, I've got a blog post that I'm writing about similarities between game design and the human body.
What?
Yeah. So
ooh, I
want to
hear.
I apply this to. All right, forget the blog post. We're just going to talk about it right now.
Okay.
So. This is something that I apply to everything in my life. Like, everything.
Mountain Dew.
My body. Okay,
oh.
Well, that as well. But, I've actually moved on to Dr. Pepper. It's delicious. So
I actually have prunes in it.
That's what I've heard, too.
Yeah.
Prune
it doesn't
cola.
Say it on
it's
there.
Delicious.
Anyways.
Natural flavors. What could it be besides prunes?
Yeah.
Oh, so, the human body, right?
Okay.
This perfect machine. We take stuff in, right? Food. We eat food, crappy food, drink Mountain Dews and Monsters and whatever else, Rockstar. And then our body, which is this awesome machine, is like, oh, what do I need? And it takes that from all this stuff that we're injecting into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, what do I do? What do I not need? And then it gets rid of all of the crap. Literally.
Nice.
So that's what I do. That's what I apply to everything.
Okay.
Like, do I need this? If it's yes, I keep that. If it's no, I get rid of it.
Okay. So how does it work with game dev?
So, if you're making a game, like, okay, this is a great example. So I've been working on this game called Lightfloor for a year and a half. Really, it's been like 2 years. But for a year, I just stopped because I hit a wall. Like, I hit a wall and... I have two kids, and, like, it was really difficult, like, with my work schedule to find the time, or really make the time, to be a father, go to work, provide for my family, all of that. So I kind of put it on the back burner. And then, like, I don't know, a month ago or so, I think it was the end of May, because I went and saw Indie Game the Movie, which was excellent.
Good movie. Go watch it.
Yes, please. It's like $10 on iTunes. Go buy it. It's
like $10 on Steam. Steam is selling it. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm not kidding you, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of, we need to talk about the Humble Bundle.
Oh, crap.
Because if you haven't
got
it yet.
Which
No, the most
know,
recent
right?
one.
Well, no, I know, but there's like, there's the BeMind Bundle, the groupies.com. Have you seen that one? Oh, there's like six bundle that I follow.
Really?
There's a ton of bundles.
Oh,
but
that's
awesome. The Humble Indie Bundle
is
the one. Torchlight, what else is on there?
Torchlight, there's Dust Force, which I have never even heard of, but it's got the most amazing soundtrack. Like,
is it really?
Incredible. If you don't have it yet, You need to get it. In fact, we could pause the podcast right now and listen to it for a little bit.
We'll have to throw it in the podcast. Dun, dun, dun.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll just listen to it later.
All right.
It's
awesome. Like, I was listening to it on the way over.
BitTrip Runner, is that one?
Yes, BitTrip Runner just got added. And then, what is it, Torchlight, Spaz, which I guess is Space Pirates and Zombies?
And Zombies, yes. That one looks pretty awesome.
There's... I don't remember all of them. I haven't even played all of the games from the Meat Boy Humble Bundle.
No, I haven't even...
Like, I haven't touched Bastion. I haven't touched Psychonauts.
Yeah.
Which
Psychonauts
are two of the reasons that I bought the thing.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Those are the two that I want to play.
And then they added Braid, which I had to play. Like, Braid is probably one of my favorite games. And we'll talk about Jonathan Blow another time. Because I want to ask you some questions about him as well.
I don't think you want to hear what I have to say about Jonathan Blow. But.
I do want to hear. And really, it's not about me, though, Spencer. It's about our listeners.
Oh, snap. Because yeah. I have something important to say. No, I just have something really snarky to say about him, but that we'll save that for another day. Yeah. So there's incentive to listen for another podcast.
Yeah.
But, yeah, okay, so here's the thing with the Humble Indie Bundles, the BeMind Bundles, the Groupies. There's tons of different bundles that I'm watching. And I'm getting them left and right, and I was like, oh, it's only, I'll contribute more. I'm going to contribute $10, because I'm a nice guy, and $10 is for 5-6 games is cool. I have like 60 games right now.
How many of them have you played?
Two.
Which ones?
Magicka, I think I played for a little bit. Can't even remember what the other one was. It wasn't even that interesting, and I played it for like 20 minutes. Oh, and Yet It Moves. No, I played And Yet It Moves, and that was about it. And that was, you know, and if you're keeping track, that was probably like the first Humble Bundle, and I grabbed a couple. I did play Braid. I got that from a bundle earlier before the Meat Boy bundle, but I did play Braid, and I guess you could say I played it. I played all the levels, which, you know, is like 5% of the game. The rest of it is doing the puzzles and solving each of the platforming issues with the, because you can get through the levels really easily. But played Trine.
Yeah, Trine's awesome.
But yeah, you know, it's so funny how I'm trying to build up that vocabulary with playing games, and I have no time to play games. Like, with all the other work and all the other things that I'm trying to do, the one thing that I know I need to be better at is playing games. And then I find League of Legends is just easier to play. Do you play League?
I do play League.
Oh, no. Another one.
What? Do you... What?
We all play.
Yeah. I mean, like, well, why would you not? It's awesome.
Okay, so what's the report that it's the game that has more players than any other game worldwide?
Oh, I'm sure.
As of right now. Beat out World of Warcraft. Minecraft, surprisingly, was way up there. Minecraft isn't a game. But yeah, it's absolutely amazing how, you know, I never wanted to get into MMOs just because I knew I would get into MMOs and lose my wife and she would leave me. And
so what you're saying is you don't want me to send you a free 7-day trial to World of Warcraft?
Free shmee, dude. I got a free one right now. Isn't it free for 20 levels or something?
Well, yes, but if I send you an invite and you actually purchase the game, I get free game time.
Oh, yay.
I just got a Scroll of Resurrection and got a level 80 Fury Warrior. It's excellent.
I have a level 2 Lightning Wolf Mage with Scrolls of Insurrection, so it's pretty awesome. Haven't done much with him for months now, but I have no
idea.
What
are you talking about?
I don't know.
Oh.
I
was like, did you roll a shaman? Like, what's going on? Let's talk about that.
Let's have a wolf mage.
What did you
I want a lightning shaman. Wolf mage, man. That just sounds cool.
Of course.
We could spend another hour talking about
it. You gotta try World of Warcraft.
Okay, I will tell you.
It's not a great game.
What? Well, yeah, let me try it then.
But it's such a popular game. Like,
you think? Yeah.
Like, academically, you need to try it.
Yeah. Well, and it's the same reason I need
That's
to try
how
these
you
other
gotta
ones.
Sell it to your wife.
Shoot.
Easy.
My wife calls me at 2 a.m. Why are you still at school? I'm researching. Click 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 click.
Oh, playing Diablo?
No, League of Legends.
Oh, right, because yeah. That's also a clicky.
Yeah, she should not have heard that. We're going to have to edit that out.
Oh, right. I was supposed to bring a piece of paper so that we can write stuff down that we've got to not tell our, let our wives hear.
Yeah, dude, this is
She's not going to listen to the podcast.
That's it. I just realized the name of our podcast, Confessions of a Game Player, of Game
Oh, that's excellent.
All
right.
Because that's all this is confessions of what we our wives should not know.
Well,
about.
It feels like we're in a confessional booth.
Oh,
so
my gosh. Yeah, so, okay, so we're on University of Utah campus in the engineering building in a room that we call Bob's Fart Room. And Bob Kessler...
Does not smell like farts.
Does not smell like
smells
farts.
Smells excellent in here.
Yeah. Someone must have sprayed Febreze. But it's the sound booth for the game in the game studio at the University of Utah. And Bob Kessler was the one that donated the money to have this. And so we got this awesome, nice padded room. And
oh, how appropriate.
Yes. It's
Confessions of a Game Dev.
Confessions of
a
Game Dev.
From a padded room.
Called Bob's Fart Room. No less. So, anyways, I've heard that if there is a that no matter how good you are, when you're talking with more than one person, there will be a pause for at least 15 seconds every 20 minutes. No matter how hard you try, there will always be a pause for 15 seconds, and I think we finally hit that. So I say, cut the podcast, and we'll see you next week.
All right, sounds good.
And I get to interview Trent because he's like acting like I'm the boss. I'm gonna.
Well, you are wearing literally the I'm like a boss T-shirt.
Yeah, and I'm gonna have to wear it next week when I interview Trent and find out what the heck is up with this guy. He's been doing this for much longer than I have, so he's definitely much more important than I am.
That's so literally a lie. But all right, is there anything you want to plug besides the University of Utah?
Stereo Wind Haptics.
I will
tell you more about it. It's the wave of the freaking future.
Quite literally.
The puns never die with it. That's the worst part of it. But you'll find out more about that in a later podcast.
Awesome.
Stereo Wind Haptics.
Do you have like a website or Twitter feed that you want people to follow?
Spenny Buchanan. SPENNIE BUCHANAN. It's the coolest Twitter account that is so inactive while I'm at school, but I promise I'm trying to...
It gets ridiculously active at, like, 11:45 at night.
Because it's the only time I have to check it. I'm like, oh, I need to see what's going on. And it's the only way I get a pulse. If you don't follow me, I don't care. But go look at who I'm following, because I'm trying to keep a pulse on the most interesting people in the indie game scene right now. And they are talking about some really cool stuff and always just posting and sharing. And I don't care if you follow me, but go follow who I'm following, because there's some really interesting people doing some cool things.
I actually picked up at the Kevin Dent from
Oh my gosh. Kevin Dent is a freaking riot. He's a hoot. Everything he says makes me want to just fall down laughing. It's so funny.
Yeah.
A little offensive, but he's Irish. What are you going to do?
Follow him on Twitter.
Follow him on Twitter. That's what you're
through at Spenny Buchanan.
Booyah. And what's yours?
Mine is at Thunderhead_I. So,
Thunderhead.
Yeah, Thunderhead, all one word, _I, it's short for Thunderhead Interactive, which you can totally like on Facebook. If you go and like Thunderhead Interactive on Facebook, it puts a smile on my face. I'm totally up to 36 people right now, which
is
awesome. Anyway, that's my company, Thunderhead Interactive. I do it out of Kearns, Utah, out of my basement. I actually just had a playtest last night with the Utah Indie Game group.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go?
It was awesome. I got some really good feedback.
I was bummed I missed that.
I was also bummed that you missed it because it was really good. But we've got some people there who we're going to have on the podcast from time to time. I know Mike Daly. Talk to him.
Nice.
Probably going to get Grayson Ritchie. We're going to try to get some local game developers, people in the industry on the podcast to just shoot the breeze for 20, 30 minutes every week. And, yeah, we'll kind of see where this goes. So thank you all for listening. Have a good evening. I'm going to drive home and rescue my wife from my kids. Love you guys.
Bye.
Dude. Oh, we're still recording.